Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Laurie Beth Jones Blog Talk Radio Show. And I've only been on the phone with our guest for about 5 minutes in the pre-show, and already she's like a cup of coffee. I mean, she is waking me up, and we are laughing and alert, and we're going to have a great show today. I have Reverend Ava Beauty, and she is a pastor with United Church of Christ in Mishawaka, Indiana. And she has quite a history in the military. She was born in Hungary, and her family left Hungary during the Hungarian Revolution and took refuge in Buffalo, New York. And she joined the Women's Army Corps, and she has just been promoted and promoted and promoted, along with getting her pastorate degree. And she is about to become a retired chaplain. Am I correct?
Correct. Still have some paperwork. Still have the almighty paperwork, Lori. Oh, yes.
All that paperwork, and she's been assigned all over the United States and also to Hungary, am I correct? Sarajevo, she was in Bosnia. So, you know, you could just spend a lifetime talking about someone's lifetime, and the fact that she's on our show is interesting because go ahead and tell us how we connected, Ava.
Well, I'm on Twitter and Facebook, and because I believe it's certainly a prominent, social media is prominent in our society nowadays, and I saw that you were. I said, oh, my goodness, because I had read your books, The Path, and Jesus CEO, and Jesus Wears Blue Jeans, which I really liked. And I said, oh, so I just added you as a friend, and we Twittered back and forth, and then you sent me an invite, and I was very honored, and so thank you very much. It's great to be here with you.
Well, you are so welcome, and we have some interesting topics to talk about today. The first one is Army chaplaincy compared to the civilian pastorate. So,
yeah,
kind of a mouthful, but tell us about that.
Well, it took a bit of adjustment, Lori, as everything else does when we change our direction a little bit. Even though you would think it was similar, there are so many differences. In the Army, I can only speak to the Army. I can't speak to the other branches. The chaplains are there to provide or perform for the free exercise of religion to our troops, no matter where they are. And so you were called upon to go all over the place in the United States or the world, and you would be with your soldiers wherever they may have been stationed. And part of our mission was to ensure that their religious freedoms were honored and respected regardless of where we were or what type of situation we may have been in. Whereas in the pastorate, you have a more intimate relationship. The people, the numbers are smaller. The people are right there. You're more involved in their entire life and the different phases. And it just seems to be a little more intimate. That's the best word I could come up with.
Well, it's a cradle-to-grave experience as a pastor, isn't it?
More so than in the military, yes. You'd only see those folks maybe 2 years at the most. There are many you still keep in touch with, of course, but as far as ministering to them, yes, the norm would be about 2 years.
Right. And were you in Bosnia during that horrible time?
Not during the major conflict, more on the aftermath. And my base was in Hungary, which, of course, is my native land, so I was in heaven.
Right.
I was hoping they'd lose my records, but they didn't. So anyway, we had a unit in Sarajevo that we would go to. But at this time, we were doing more rebuilding relationships as well as the material damage. But it was quite remarkable to me to see the Christian and the Muslim interaction at that time, and this was back in 2000, 2001. So it was quite a fascinating experience, and I was very happy to be there and to be with the soldiers. And I think that's the other thing. In the military, you're shown so many different things and different cultures at a faster pace, whereas in the civilian pastorate, you might have folks in your congregation, a great deal of them, who have never left their city.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps. So they don't have such a wider world vision, it seems. And that's not always the case, but many times.
Right. Now, your bio says that you're also involved in the distance learning division. What is going on with the Chaplain Center and the distance learning?
Well, that was 3 years. I came home in 2007, and at that time, what we do is the chaplains that are in the reserves or the National Guard, they also have to fulfill their educational requirements. There's certain levels that you have to fulfill. And so this gives them an opportunity to do that without being physically present at the Chaplain Center and school, which is in South Carolina.
So you're able to take online courses to keep current and get your credits.
Yes, and then instructors, which I was one at that time, would evaluate and help you and mentor you along and make sure that you got the exact same education that your active duty counterparts had. So the same opportunities. Yes, it was an honor.
Well, it seems like you've always been called to serve, and let's talk about the call as a mission. How did that happen for you?
Well, I was one of those stubborn people, Lori, and I when I was younger, I didn't quite get that my will be done. I didn't realize who the my was. Yes, so God and I had quite a bit of conversations in my 20s, but guess who won? So the Lord won, and I always felt called. I was raised in the church. My father was a Lutheran pastor for 54 years before he died.
Wow.
So I always attribute, he actually planted not only the seed of life, but the seed of faith within me. So I've always been around church folks and got used to the, shall we say, hierarchy and things of that nature. So I finally accepted the call and went to seminary, and I feel very much so the ordination vows we take of preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what I try to do, whether in uniform or now out of uniform.
Now, what are some of the major challenges that you face as a pastor? One, we're going to talk about the culture that we live in, the selfless service in a world focused on the I. Let's talk about that for a moment.
Well, as we see in the newspaper and even on the radio shows and TV shows, a lot of things are geared in how to please the individual, to please yourself. And most people are confused, it would appear, that pleasing yourself is the aim, where it is, in fact, service to others that pleases yourself inwardly that causes the most joy. And so to try to get that message across, And now that's a big difference in the military. The soldiers volunteer. And so their selfless service is much more evident in the sacrifices they give up, being away from their families for a long time, missing major events in the family like birth, sometimes death even of family members, things of that nature. And so here in the civilian sector, it just seems people are just a little less focused on the outward and more focused on their inward, but not inward in the soul. As we would like to get them to that point where they see how important who they are and the gifts that they have are what's required of the kingdom and of ourselves in service to others. So that's been the challenge, if that
and
makes
your
sense
church,
to you.
Your church is in Indiana, and you mentioned that it's a small church, as 99% of churches are in America.
Yes.
And I think there's something really precious about that, because it becomes a family and it becomes an opportunity to become more deeply involved, like you said, with their spiritual growth rather than just kind of entertaining them from the stage. And talk a little bit about that, what it means to be a pastor of a small church in Indiana.
Well, our denomination, the United Church of Christ, is a very varied denomination, and we go from the spectrums of the extreme right to the extreme left, and everything in between. The congregation I'm currently serving is somewhat moderate conservative, and they are folks who have come from the evangelical reform tradition, and so they're very much into the, as you were saying, the family setting. And the pastor, as I say, you're involved in every aspect of their life, if they let you, once they get to know you. That trust is not immediately given to you. It's something that comes with time and the interaction with them. And I think the biggest thing that I've noticed throughout my years is the authenticity. So just to be who I am, with all my flaws and all my good points and everything in between, and people can discern for themselves how authentic and real that you really are. I think that's been the biggest strength that people see, and that trust and that, well, almost respect comes a little quicker than it would. Well, the respect is not like it was in the 50s and 60s, Lori, as we know, for the clergy, especially with a lot of things going on. But it's just not the same. And so we're not the leader in the sense of a dictatorship, obviously. There is a system, and we all work as a team, and no one can do it alone. And I think Jesus taught that. He had a team, and he sent the team out to do things, and we kind of model that and do the same. Is that
now,
kind of what you were asking?
Yes. How many women pastors are there in the UCC?
I don't have the exact number, but it's not as low as some other denominations, low in numbers, I should say. But we do have quite a few. I'm sorry I don't know the exact number. But it's not an oddity to see female ordained clergy in the United Church of Christ.
Wow. So the UCC was an early ordainer of women?
Oh, yes, very much so. And I should know who the first one was, and once upon a time I did, Lori, but I don't have that information right in front of me, so please forgive my memory lapse.
That's all right. In a way, that's what we're working towards, isn't it, where it will be just such a norm that we won't have to remember all these things.
Well, and, no, that stigma is a little less nowadays. I don't find that, especially in my denomination, that stigma at all.
Wow.
I did in the chaplaincy. It is still very much alive and well. It's masked, of course, because of political issues, but it's very much there. The numbers there are very low for female chaplains, especially full-time active duty, because it's tough.
Right.
It's a very hard, physically demanding, emotional, let alone spiritually. You definitely cultivate your strength.
So we have just a few minutes left. Give us some tips on how to shift from the I to the we.
I think the very first thing that I would encourage everyone is to find a faith community that speaks to your needs, one that can feed your soul for those things that you may not even know are lacking. And one of the things that I would also emphasize, when you go to a church or a synagogue or your place of worship, please don't visit just once. We all have bad days.
Good point.
And sometimes everyone doesn't behave right, and sometimes someone's cranky or the pastor's sermon's not quite up to your par. So people seem to come once, and it doesn't suit their needs, and you never see them again. Please give two or three tries. And then if you still don't feel comfortable or it doesn't speak to you, then by all means, search. But this church shopping kind of troubles me because sometimes it, again, is within you, and someone else cannot fill that need. We can only walk with the person on their journey. We can't give it to them.
Oh, that's well said. Well said.
And I think that's what's expected. You kind of said, you know, like being on stage, and it's not really being on stage, but I'm not there to fill every void in your life. I'm there to help you see and hear clearer the master's plan for your life. So I think that would be the big difference, Lori.
You are just so delightful. You shared with me this was your first time on the radio, and you are just
nervous.
you are articulate and poised, and oh my goodness, I can see why the Lord called you.
Well, I
have
never regretted it. Well, you called me a different way, Lord, but I've never regretted being a chaplain or currently a minister. I've done other types of soul searching, but never that.
All right. So if people want to reach you, is there any way that they can reach you or your church real quickly in an email?
Well, I have a website for the church where my email and information is there. And that's
quickly, what is that?
www.com, St. Andrews UCC, one word, .net.
St. Andrews UCC.net. Well, I'm going to look it up, and I have just been delighted to spend time with you, Reverend. Thank you for your insights and your sharing, and bless you on the journey as you bless others.
And God bless you, Lori. Thank you so much.
All right. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.